broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. This is the broadcast for April 29th in the year of our Lord, 2019, hour 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. It's Scott Bradley to Preserve the Nation with us. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. Check out his incredible award-winning webinars every week as well. FreedomsRisingSun.com. Welcome back, Scott.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning to everyone that's listening. Glad to be with everybody.
All right. I don't really know how to take on this discussion, but we're going to do it anyway. And I know we need to lead with kindness. I know this issue is extremely delicate, but I also know we must speak out as well. Headline says this. Brigham Young University, or BYU, student, his name is Matt Easton, and he was the commencement speaker. He was the valedictorian, if you will. And he comes out as gay in the middle of his speech. All right? This is very hard to handle. How do you deal with something like this? Here is a part of the speech. We're going to play it. Then we'll come back and break it down and talk about it. Here is Matt Easton, valedictorian at Brigham Young University.
I would like to begin by saying congratulations. Congratulations to each of you for making it here, for pushing through an incredibly difficult, rigorous, and impressive degree at BYU. Congratulations to those who seriously consider dropping out but who stuck with it. Congratulations to those who tackled the challenge of bearing and raising a child while studying. Congrats to those who were insane enough to get married mid-semester and still somehow survive. And congrats to those of us who are still single and who have made it through 4 years of jokes about when are we going to get married.
Woo!
Congratulations to those who at some point felt alone or afraid or uncertain while here. To those of us who have struggled with our faith, and to those who have strengthened it. Congratulations to my siblings of color, my LGBTQ friends. That's right, that's right. To students who are walking with mental illness, to all those who constantly have stood in the face of adversity to make our campus better for future generations. You are seen, you are loved, and today you are here to celebrate. In the course of our time at BYU, we have witnessed historic events among these hallowed halls well worth celebrating. We have seen new buildings rise up, old policies change, a shift to two-hour church, and my personal favorite, the introduction of fully caffeinated Coca-Cola in the Will. I'm sure that among each of these moments, you and your friends share your own memories that you are celebrating today and will cherish forever. For me, I'm here to celebrate a few of my own personal victories. The first happened my freshman year. It was a warm September morning, and I was walking to my class when I felt a mysterious person pull me to the ground and knock the wind right out of me. Perplexed at who would do kind of a rude thing, I looked up to see not a student running away, but a deer. Yes, I was actually hit by a deer. It wasn't long before this was on the campus Snapchat story, and I affectionately became known as the Deer Boy. Resulting from this incident was a popular Universe article, a few memes, and even a hernia surgery. Yes, the deer quite literally knocked the guts out of me. Today, I would like to tell that deer that it did not get the best of me. I'm still here, and I'm still hungry for venison. Now, my second victory is not mine alone, but that of my family and especially my mother. 3 years ago, I was on campus when I received a call that would forever change my life. My parents informed me that my mom had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. I had no idea how quickly the world could turn upside down, how instantaneously my perspective could change. I learned better how to cherish and who to cherish. Now, I am proud to say that my mom is here in this audience today. We don't know what awaits us or her, but we are learning to celebrate the time we do have left. It is a daily victory to have my mom here to remember what really matters. In the Book of Mormon, Enos is described as having his soul hunger of crying out to the Lord in mighty prayer and supplication. As I'm sure many of you have felt, I recall countless times here at the Y where I have battled and fought in prayer with my Maker. It was in these quiet moments of pain and confusion that I felt another triumph, that of coming to terms not with who I thought I should be, but who the Lord has made me to be. As such, I stand before my family, friends, and graduating class today to say that I am proud to be a gay son of God. I am not broken. I am loved and important to the plan of our great Creator. Each of us are. Thank you to my parents, to my friends, and my mentors here at BYU who have offered support and helped me remember my divine potential here on this earth. 4 years ago, it would have been impossible for me to imagine that I would come out of my entire college. It is a phenomenal feeling, and it is a victory for me in and of itself. Perhaps there are those of you here today who are afraid or uncertain about how to deal with the unique challenges that you face. I hope that my stories can serve as a reminder that BYU has given us the foundation to face difficult problems, both secular and spiritual, and that in the Lord, all things are possible. As I conclude here today, I ask you all to consider, what are you here to celebrate? What are your victories the world needs to know? I can promise that your story is important and your place in this world invaluable. Remember this. As I look around the Marriott Center, I am overwhelmed by the sense of greatness that each of you exude. Among us are future doctors, lawyers.
All right, it goes on. Let's, without me giving any input at all, let's hear Scott Bradley's reaction to that, and then we'll hear from Kurt Crosby, and then I'll speak out. Kurt? Scott?
Well, honestly, Sam, I don't criticize you very often, but I think you gave him 10 minutes of fame he didn't deserve. And honestly, I think that's what this whole thing was about. It's an in-your-face, militant kind of facing down and trying to force the issue onto all of America. And honestly and truthfully, I think the man was extremely dishonorable in what he did, because here he is, has fostered through an institution that so many people give their hard-earned money that goes to that school. They have standards. They have a position. They try to love everybody. But to be so in your face, to me, is an offense to anything honorable. And honestly, it's kind of like that, I can't remember her name right now, that congressman from, what was it, New York, I think. I really remember her name, but I will not say her name or even, I feel bad I brought that up even at all. But the fact of the matter is, she gets far too much press for her idiocy and her lack of any understanding, her inability to govern, for the principles she stands for. And I feel that far too often today we give everything to those that are the blathering idiots of the world. And I'm sorry, the kid may have a really good GPA, but I think he lowered the standard of people and their ability to feel ennobled. And so I think it was a paid political announcement by a very militant organization. I think the people that were recording it, I don't know who had the recording. You hear everybody gasping and awing and awing all the way through it. I presume it's some friends that kind of knew it was going to happen. But at any rate, I don't know. I'm saddened by the fact that this is what we've come down to in America. I mean, what are we going to do? Marry cats and dogs next, or praise bestiality, or pedophiles, or you can take any path you want on this thing. And sexuality probably is not an issue that needs to be brought up with little tiny kids in the audience and family members, people that have come there to celebrate the graduation of their kids that they probably spent hard-earned money on to get them through. It just was totally inappropriate. I don't know. I mean, that's I hadn't heard about this until you brought it up, Sam. But that's a gut reaction the first few minutes. And like I say, it's far more time of fame than he deserved.
All right. So, Kurt, let's have you respond, then I'll respond.
Well, I'm going to say, you know, a couple of things. I will agree with Scott's, assessment, Dr. Scott Bradley, evaluating this, gut reaction the first time he's heard it. I was aware of it just a little bit earlier simply because you let me know about it, Sam. The first phrase that comes to my mind is a phrase that's says, wickedness never was happiness. And then I will say this is the other part that I think is really important here, and that is simply, these entities are amongst us these days, and it's way different than the days of old. And we've got to stand up. I would come out right now and simply say, I'm a heterosexual man. I'm in love with my wife. And, I know that in the future that's probably going to seem weird to people, but that's just the way it is, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, quick pause. I'll come back with my commentary in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Who has the guts to take this on like we will, huh? I bet you nobody.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So did you have more to say on this topic first, Kurt? I want to give you a chance to finish. The break kind of caught us there.
Like Dr. Scott Bradley mentioned, I think it's so many times we fall for this thing when you look at these, say it's a mass shooting, how many times are we, if we talk about it, do we basically encourage the same kind of activity? And then the same thing in this case. I think what happens is you find a young man or a young woman who says, man, I mean, if I'm going to get some real fame, this is what I got to do. Otherwise, I mean, if I come out and say, I'm my God and family and country mean everything to me, and the standard line that people have heard for years. Is any media going to cover that? I don't think so. They're just going to look and say, well, it's just standard stuff. But on the other hand, if it bleeds or if it's crazy and out of the way and, you know, nuts, in my opinion, then, hey, that's going to lead. And so that's why this story's getting some play.
All right. So here's my take. On one hand, I understand Scott's point that, hey, why give this guy so much coverage, Sam? Come on. What are you thinking? Well, here's what you got to remember. Okay? You got to remember that the mainstream press just took this global. All right? So understand that CBS is covering it. The Hill is covering it. ABC is covering it. This is global, worldwide news by the group that makes the rules. And the problem that I see here is I don't see anybody covering this honestly, openly, and fairly from a moral, God-fearing perspective that I know of. Now you would say, Sam, well, who gives you the ability to speak in that? Well, I will basically teach the principles of God on this topic. And the reason that I let his audio play so long is because if I don't, then they'll accuse me of not putting it in context and not being fair. So I played this because he did some good. You know what? He promoted a lot of other groups. But what he really did is he deceptively did that. He couched everything he said about promoting homosexuality in this idea that I'm praising everybody. I'm the forgiving, kind, loving, patient, respect everybody view. And that's where the lie begins. The next piece of the lie is that he literally invokes the Book of Mormon and uses a prophet in the Book of Mormon who prayed to God and received forgiveness for his sins as the token hint that that's what he did to come to the knowledge of his, quote, gayness. And that's where I believe the lies begin. And if I don't play all that, how can I contextually point out, in my opinion, the lies? He used religion as if God endorsed his behavior. He used all other groups under the sun, the married, the babies, the pregnant, the single, to make his view seem as normal and as acceptable as everybody else's. In fact, almost preferred. Because what would have happened if I would have got up there and said, you know what, I'm married, I'm coming out, telling you that as Kurt did, I'm a heterosexual man, I'm in love with my wife, I believe in my children, I advocate for their traditional marriage. Now, they wouldn't have applauded for that at all. They would have went, what? How dare you? How dare you suggest that your viewpoint is better than ours? And so they cater to our principles when they know they have to. When they get the upper hand, they don't cater to our principles at all. They say, your view is not even welcome at the table. In fact, your view is bigoted. So right now, he'll appeal to everybody and everything, and he's just part of the mix because he knows that's our values. Over time, though, it will be your value, your traditional marriage view, your heterosexual view, your believing in babies is nothing more than a bigoted, hate the environment discussion. And at the ultimate debate, this comes down to, do you believe in God, in his existence, first of all? Secondly, do you believe in God's love? And third, do you believe in God's commandments? And that's, in my opinion, where the debate needs to go. And so, again, I play that whole piece so no one can accuse me of not being fair and letting people hear what he has to say. But then I will double down and spend the time on what I have to say about it, which is this. I get that he has his agency to choose as he will, and I will never try to take that from him. At the same time, in my opinion, he held the whole college hostage on the deceptive lies that literally, at the end of the day, go against God's laws and go against God's fundamental unit of society, which is the family. Because two males together or two females together do not have the God-ordained procreative power. And if we advocate for their agenda, eventually there will be no society at all. If everybody were to embrace their viewpoint, we would have no children anymore. We would have no God-ordained traditional families anymore. And we would simply be thumbing our nose at God because all sex would be outside of the sacred bonds of marriage. Male and female created God, and he ordained one man and one woman to be together in a sacred, righteous marriage. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints fundamentally issued or released a document called the Proclamation on the Family. And this document called the Proclamation on the Family released, I think it was in 1995. This document highlights God's ordained way of the fundamental unit of society, the family, and highlights the male responsibilities and the female responsibilities, and then highlights how that relates to children. So should we be loving to this mixed up gentleman? Absolutely. Should we be kind? Without a doubt. But should we let him, without a challenge, take the global platform as his stage, using Brigham Young University, the college pulpit, to advocate for everything that goes against our belief systems? I think not. And I think that we need to draw a line here, because what we do is we get caught in the crosshairs. We say, oh, you know what? We better be kind. And therefore, well, if you're not careful, you pity, then you embrace. That's where we're teetering on the brink of right now. And I don't wish any harm to this gentleman. I get that he has his agency, and I accept that he can make his own choices. But I will not stand by allowing Brigham Young University whole auditorium to clap and celebrate his promotion of his agenda. And the sad part is, this young man is probably being used as a pawn by this hostile agenda to freedom, which is the gay and lesbian lifestyle. And I'm not here to attack them, but I am here to defend God's laws. I don't make up the rules. So should I be my brother's keeper? Absolutely. Should I be kind to my neighbor? Absolutely. But that does not mean that I need to politically go along with the agenda and or remain silent and not cover this issue. So I played his whole piece so that, you know what, they couldn't say that I just drowned out the reality. Okay, I believe he intentionally, calculatedly, backed by very evil people, maybe not even realizing what he was doing, and he literally held BYU, Brigham Young University, and is now holding the world hostage by this agenda. That is, hey, gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender lifestyles should be celebrated and promoted, and that you should literally go into the hallowed halls of private institutions and force that agenda down the throats of everyone attending. And if you stand up in any way in opposition, you are the enemy. You are the hater. You are the bigot. You are the unforgiving, the unkind. And that's what this comes down to. And I disagree completely. And I want to advocate for what I believe to be important, which is God's law. And yes, we should be kind to this mixed up man. That does not mean that we need to endorse and or celebrate and or stand idly by to, in my opinion, his satanic, hostile, deceptive agenda, which is to force all of us to either go along and celebrate and or remain silent. I personally will do neither of the two. Scott, what do you say to that, sir?
Well, I think that, now that I better understand your position, I can say, well, okay, there's some logic and reason behind that. He sucker punched everybody that was there.
Yes, he did. And this is what good, honest members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints need to highlight in the media. Who's going to do this if not Sam Bushman? Who else has the guts to really, literally lay it out, in my opinion, as it truly is? Exactly like you say, he sucker punched everybody into either submission of silence and saying nothing and or going along, right?
Well, you know, some decades ago, I got my master's degree at Brigham Young University, and it was a far different environment. I mean, this tainted the whole process for people. When we get back, let's talk about what the Supreme Court of one of the provinces of Canada is doing with this gender thing.
All right, we'll also get Kurt's take on my take as well. Again, who's going to speak out and set the record straight on some of this, how we really internally, as most of us members, feel? Who has the guts to not go along or remain silent, huh?
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Washington State's Department of Labor and Industries looking into the cause of a crane collapse that killed four people over the weekend.
No one should ever have to go to work and not come home from their job. We're looking closely at this. It will take months, but our goal is to figure out what happened so things like this don't happen again.
Part of the crane fell across the top of the building it was situated on. The cab of the crane, though, fell to the street, killing the two crane operators and two people in vehicles. Former Vice President Joe Biden is getting down to work on the campaign trail today. He has a rally planned with union members in Pittsburgh. The man accused of leading a New Mexico militia group that captured and held migrants along the border is due in court today, as Larry Mitchell Hopkins will be arraigned on charges of being a felon in possession of firearms and ammunition. And this is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
A Republican senator not pleased to hear the White House senior advisor and son-in-law to President Trump, Jared Kushner, downplay Russia's interference in the 2016 elections when he dismissed it recently as, quote, a couple of Facebook ads. Senator Lindsey Graham says,
this is a big deal. It's not just a few Facebook ads. They were very successful in pitting one American against the other during the 2016 campaign by manipulating social media, and they actually got into the campaign email system of the Democratic Party. An attack on one party should be an attack on all. The Russians are up to it again.
Graham, who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee and is an ally of President Trump, was speaking on CBS News. A fire that started last night at a zinc processing plant in North Carolina is out. Residents living within a half mile of that site, 50 miles west of Charlotte, though, have been told to evacuate. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Kurt Crosby, what do you say of my take on this whole story? It's something that when it goes global and something when it's act, everybody believes it's celebrated at Brigham Young University. Everybody's clapping, the whole video goes viral. I don't believe that's how most of us members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints feel at all. And who's going to speak out against it if not Sam Bushman?
Well, okay, I will say this. One of the things to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, is there's a battle that's been going on ever since the beginning of time. It's called the war between good and evil. And what you've got is a continuing... For example, the ones on the evil side are going to try to separate and divide those who at least do some good on the good side. For example, when the president, does some good about having less abortions, then the ones on the evil side are going to try to separate maybe some different people. For example, let's say he says, hey, we're not going to sell any more baby body parts. And then somebody comes out and says, at least that are his friends, maybe a Rand Paul or somebody else would come out and say, well, he's not gone far enough. So then they're going to highlight the differences, and then they're going to try to divide those two rather than get them to work together. In this case, what you're going to see is, your people like CBS and whoever else is going with the story, Sam, they're certainly not friends of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're going to, you know, do this, number one, to sell their wares so that they can get viewers and or listeners or, you know, advertisers or whatever. It's he who owns the media makes the rules, and what if it bleeds, it leads. That's what's going on there. On the other hand, you know, responsible media, and I will use that term simply because that's what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints president used in one of his last press conferences. He says responsible media will do such and such. Or in other words, they won't push this issue, or they won't do that kind of thing. So I like what you said, and I understand your point of view, Sam, and I think you very well did it. It's, you know, this idea, though, in your monologue or your little bit of speech there after Dr. Scott Bradley gave his, was you said, hey, I did this so that they won't attack me. I got news for you. They're going to attack you. And they're going to continue to attack you unless you completely submit to what they tell you you have to agree with. And that is one really important point, I believe.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Sam,
and I guess when I say so they won't attack me, I guess so that I can at least say, you know what, I've been as fair as I can. You heard what the gentleman had to say. I didn't obliterate that at all and just give my commentary. I let you hear what he had to say and how he couched it. And then I basically have my view. And the only reason it's important is because somebody's got to stand up somewhere, Scott.
Yeah, there's no question. And maybe, I don't know how much longer you want to spend on this individual blather, but you know, when the Savior was on the earth in mortality, he quoted one Old Testament prophet more than any, and that was Isaiah. And if you read in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." And I would submit that perhaps today is the day that that seems to be, maybe not this exact day, but I'm talking about the era we live in, is an era when those upside down and mixed up perspectives are being fostered. And, you know, I've on this show, I've previously called it the age of irrelevance, because, I mean, while this should be the time of most relevance, I mean, everything all down through the ages, the prophets have looked at our day prior to the coming of our Lord and in his glory as this time of a compression of everything that needs to be done. So it should be most relevant of all times, perhaps. And what we've done is, because of the blather of the world, we're making it into a time of irrelevance because of the distraction and diversions, the bread and circuses that seem to fill our lives, and the evil called good and good evil and light and darkness being mixed up and everything. I think that sometimes it will behoove us to say, kind of refocus ourselves and say, okay, if I'm focused on things of irrelevance, perhaps I maybe ought to reevaluate my focus. And begin to kind of double down on the things that will be of most value to our God, to our family, to our country. I mean, those.
And so I look at the proclamation on the family and the statement from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that came out in 1995, and that document is primarily the understanding from prophets of God. You know, that's what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints declares, a prophets of God on how the traditional family, how the God-ordained family is and ought to be and works, an understanding of who we are and what God's understanding of these things are. And so I'm not here to attack anybody, but I am here to stand up and say, look, you know what? I understand if a person chooses their choice to be gay, that's their choice. I get it. But I'm not going to idly stand by while we celebrate that and ignore the official release from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is the church's stance on this issue, regardless of what a BYU student says, regardless of the clapping by everybody and the celebration of this, in my opinion, perverted agenda. I'm going to go back to what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has released and try to highlight the proclamation on the family as the true guidance from the church. And I do that on purpose because I do believe that puts us pointed to exactly what you're speaking of, Scott.
I think Sam, most people, regardless of their faith, that are listening to your program, probably if they were to give consideration, I mean, the things that are in that proclamation of the family that you've been speaking about, I think most of them hold those things intuitively. I think most people recognize the eternal value of family and how it's absolutely the bedrock of our society. And by the way, I go back to, this is in my book. The Sarloff anarchists back in the Soviet takeover of Russia, they obliterated the family. They made all women common women. There was no marriage, and every man could make use of any woman he wished, and the children that were resulting would be raised by the state and blah, 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 and everything. What they found after a very short period of time, that as they erased the family, society unraveled at an accelerated rate. And so I think people, regardless of their faith, even if they're godless, have no belief in any God whatsoever, if they stopped and thought about it, would find that the family is foundational to everything that's good in society, because families create, I mean, people that learn how to interact with each other, being honest, being someone that doesn't go out and murder. And, I mean, all the things of religion can be found in family if people would be wise in the way they do it. So regardless of one's faith, this is an affront. This thing that this BYU kid just did is an affront to everything that society's founded on. And society's unraveling. And
that's why I highlighted enough of it that I did. And Kurt's right. They will attack me nevertheless. But I want to be as open and honest and fair as I can to say, here's what he says. Here's why I disagree, and here's what I think are the answers. I believe that it's a threat to the fundamental unit of society, the family. And I believe we need to focus on the official doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the family, a proclamation to the world. You can find a copy at LDS.org. And I highlight this because, again, I'm not here to attack this gentleman, but I am here to point out where I believe the answers and the solutions and the true reality of where the Church of Jesus Christ stands on these issues. We don't mean to harm anybody. We don't mean to attack anybody, but we do our very best to understand and carry out the laws of God, not challenge them at every turn. And I believe that's what's being done. And so to me, this topic is as relevant as it gets. And I don't know who else is going to speak out boldly, nobly, and independently for the truth without attacking this gentleman, but highlighting what the concerns are and then pointing people to the real solutions and the real official position of the church on this issue. Who's going to do it if not me? Is there anybody you know of that's doing this like I will, Scott?
Well, honestly, like I said, I had, until you broached the subject, I had not heard of it until this morning. And then having you brought this up, I have done a little bit of, snooping around the internet. And honestly, it is, top of the fold front page headline news on everybody's banners, it seems like now. It's just bizarre to me how one confused individual can suddenly be thrown to, it's kind of like throwing to the forefront these mass murderers that kill kids in schools, and suddenly they're the big news of the day, and it's like, holy cow. I mean, don't we have anything better to talk about than things that are tearing society down?
Well, if we talk about it but point people to what will build society up, I think hopefully if people pay attention to the spirit of what we're doing and look at the evidence of what we're pointing to, I think that is the key. That is the answer.
That's the direction you're going, and I applaud that. Thank you.
All right, Kurt Crosby. I want to hear what's happening in Canada because I think it relates. Scott's got that in seconds. I know this is a very difficult subject. On one hand, you feel like maybe I shouldn't bring it up at all. But then I say to myself, who's going to stand for principle? Who's going to point people to the solutions, huh?
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So what's happening in Canada? I think it might relate, Scott.
Well, it's everything, unfortunately, is related to the confusion of the day. But this British Columbia Supreme Court declared a father guilty of family violence for giving interviews to publications in which he used female pronouns for his daughter. This is, he's referred to his daughter, it's his daughter. She's 14 years old. And this is based that he engaged in, quote, expressions of rejection of her gender identity. And they basically come around his refusal to refer to his daughter as a boy in private. And he continues to affirm that she's a girl in public. And so he has been put a gag order on him, and the court has declared him guilty of family violence for using female pronouns, girl, she, you know. And when he's talking about his 14-year-old daughter, she's court has ordered that this girl receive testosterone injections without her parental consent. And so she's begun a couple of months ago getting those. So anyway, the fact that she's a girl is a girl. Her DNA is not going to change, although they're going to pump her up on testosterone. I mean, but that's how the courts are ruling on these things now. It is absolutely, as we talked about the scripture in Isaiah chapter 5 about good and evil and light and darkness and all that, it's like, holy cow, the age of irrelevance is upon us in a time when we should have the most relevance for everything that's most important, because there is a compression of events that good and evil, someday everybody's going to have to choose the path they're going to follow.
Yeah, the headline on this, by the way, from One News Now and other Christian news services basically says this. Father defies Canadian court by calling daughter she. And this is what we're talking about. So you can say, Sam, you're going too far. Why don't you just be kind to the gay and lesbian agenda? And my response is, I don't think we can. And we can be kind to them, but I don't think we can just swallow this hook, line, and sinker. This dad just called his daughter a she and literally defies the court?
Yep.
I mean, what on earth is going on around here? And this just shows my point where I say they act like they're for our values. This guy tried to include everybody to make us feel like, hey, he's just one of the folks that want to be included. That's okay, isn't it, Sam? Well, if that was the real values of the agenda, maybe so. But that isn't the real values of the agenda. Once they get the upper hand and they get in the courts, they literally say your view that your daughter is a she is not acceptable at the table for discussion. So they tie to our values when it's us in charge. When they get in charge, though, they say, hey, those were your values. We don't believe in those values. Your value doesn't have a position at the table because it's hate-filled and bigoted. And that's really where the discussion goes. And at the end of the day, anything godly they want to attack, Scott.
Well, you know, think about it for a second. You read something in the newspaper or hear it on the news that somebody, is involved in family violence. Oh, man, that guy's lower than dirt. And that's where they put this. This guy's lower than dirt because of family violence by referring to his daughter as a she and as a girl. And it is somebody, I mean, he's loved her his whole life. I mean, well, all her 14 years, he's been there for her and everything like that. Now she's getting pumped up on testosterone. The fact that she's going to foul up the natural God-ordained divine role that she came to Earth with, and he's trying to discourage that from happening, and he's now convicted of family violence. And if people don't read farther down the line, they're going to find out, I mean, they'll just think, oh, my goodness, what did that guy do? Did he beat his daughter? Did he, you know, do an honor killing of her? Or what's the deal, you know? And it's just because he called her she. You know, come on. We're so upside down and backwards right now, and this is British Columbia. By the way, did you know the British dollar, the coin is called a loonie? Did you know that? And they've just come out with one that celebrates the decriminalization of homosexual activity in Canada, and they've got a coin out for it. Look it up and see it. It celebrates the gay agenda. On the Canadian coin, there's a lot of people that have got these sexual identity issues going that they're unhappy about it because they don't think they've received full measure of acceptance. But the fact of the matter is,
not only acceptance, but endorsement.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Go look that up. The Canadian loonie and it's a gay coin. It's just come out, and I don't remember how many there's. They're going to do 400,000 of them or something like that. I can't remember. But it's an interesting twist on today's standard in the news. I don't know.
Well, let's highlight how my point is that everything godly they want to attack. You can't call your daughter she, but you can come out as gay at a religious school where their official doctrine literally says that, you know what, the gay and lesbian lifestyle isn't what we believe God's laws relate to, right? Well, now the ACLU is targeting a sheriff. Kurt, it directly relates to the point I'm making that anything godly is flat-out attacked. This is their agenda.
Great point, Sam. Yeah, that's right. World Net Daily's got this piece, the headline, ACLU targets sheriff for Easter greeting. Subheadline, grossly inappropriate under our traditions of religious freedom. And it says, an Easter greeting on the Facebook page of an Iowa sheriff's office has drawn condemnation from the ACLU. That's the American Civil Liberties Union, which claims it violates the First Amendment. Quote, happy Easter from all of us at the Winnisheek County, I probably messed that county's name up, Sheriff's Office, that's what the greeting reads. It's accompanied by an image of a cross with the words, He is risen. They go on to say, we simply offered a holiday greeting on a weekend that is recognized by Winnisheek County, and unfortunately some people appeared to be offended by it. The sheriff, Dan Marks, said, according to the Courier newspaper of Waterloo, Iowa, the ACLU of Iowa told the paper it was made aware of the Easter posting by someone who commented on the sheriff's Facebook page.
So let's get this right. The sheriff can't even wish everyone a happy Easter, an Easter greeting. He can't do that without getting absolutely shut down. A man in the Canadian courts cannot even call his daughter a she, as the government overrules the parents and forces gender bender chemicals to the daughter. So we obliterate parents. We obliterate the sheriff standing up for godly principles. Now a stadium full of Brigham Young University graduates and families applaud the gay and lesbian agenda because they don't dare either let their feelings be known, or they're mixed up on the issue, or they don't have the willingness to stand with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints official releases on the subject. That's where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. And I, you know, there's a lot of, conservative people that could speak out and have a bigger impact than I. You know, Mitt Romney could do something. Mike Lee could do something. Glenn Beck could do something. There's plenty others, and I pray they help with the cause. And I'm not here to attack any of these people, but I am here to say male and female created he them. That's God's law, not mine. And so I defend this father in Canada and this idea that this gay man comes out. I understand that we should be kind to him, but it's not something to be celebrated. The proclamation on the family to the world, a family, a proclamation to the world is something to celebrate and focus on, because I believe that's where the solutions are. And I believe that's where the official release of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is on the subject. It doesn't attack anybody, but it nobly, boldly, independently points out what we believe to be God's directives on these matters. Scott?
Well, okay, there's so much to be said, and it'd be a real cold day, I think, before Mike Lee comes out as strongly as you have, even though he got his law degree at BYU. But just going back to this sheriff thing for just a second, lest anybody misunderstand that, too. The First Amendment absolutely, unequivocally, totally, and completely is being misinterpreted by the ACLU. It did not establish an adversarial relationship between government and God. It did not prevent anything that was religious in this country. And in fact, we could actually, if there were a few more minutes, explain how an exact, probably the best argument that could be made that happened the 25th of September, 1789, the day that the First Amendment was passed, they also passed a religious recognition and day of fasting and prayer that they required George Washington to put forward. It is not an adversarial thing at all. It is simply to prevent the establishment of an official religion, and in fact, everyone that was involved in this whole First Amendment creation wanted everyone to be able to worship as they would, and to worship does not mean establishment of a religion. To wish somebody a happy Easter or a Merry Christmas or anything of any religion, I mean, or a happy Hanukkah or anything, it doesn't mean anything in terms of whether the government or a government agent or anybody that's been elected or sits in office or anything like that is prohibited from doing that. It is not a prohibition. It is not an adversarial relationship. It is simply that we were not going to have a state-supported religion that required taxpayers to pay for religion that they did not believe in. That was compulsion that was unacceptable. Everybody could worship how, where, or what they may, according to their own dictates of their conscience, and that's what the Founding Fathers had in mind. This sheriff has been pilloried for no reason whatsoever, and the ACLU is so far off base on this, and we, again, we're upside down and backwards.
Good. Well, it just shows our values and how we treat subjects versus how they treat subjects. They want to act like they just want to be included. They just want a fair seat at the table like everybody else, and everybody else is equal when we're in charge or when they... But when it comes down to it and they have a little bit of power, then they flat out obliterate anything to do with God, Christ, the traditional family, God-ordained traditional marriage between one man and one woman. This is their agenda, and I highlight the differences on purpose. And ladies and gentlemen, it's up to you and your own agency to decide where you stand. But I stand with the proclamation on the family. I stand with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints released doctrine on the proper role of the God-ordained family. And I point to those as solutions to the problems we face in America today. It is about God, family, and country. Kurt, do you want to chime in on this?
I don't know for sure what to add, Sam, but I will say this, that, hey, bottom line is we're in the middle of a war, and the war is between good and evil. And we shouldn't be surprised. It's been going on for a long time. Now it's our turn to see where we stand.
And I want to have a clarion call for civility on one hand, right? In other words, I'm not here to create arguments and just throw down and fight. But I am here in an era of promoting civility to also stand boldly, nobly, independently, and kindly for our beliefs and insist that they have not only a seat at the table, but they have the God-ordained seat at the table. I stand by that unequivocally, and I'm not going to back down or apologize. I can be kind, but I can also be noble, bold, and independent, and do so in a very civil, classic way. Scott, final words yours, sir.
Okay, well, we got to remember the side we choose someday will really matter, and I think we better start considering the fact it really matters right now.
Amen to that reality check. Thanks. And that's why we spend so much time on it. I know there's a lot of other topics we could talk about, but setting aside politics for a second, these are issues of critical morality and the nation's at stake. Thanks for being alongside. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.